welcome back to this episode of the Around the Tuesday Table podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Smith, a life and integrative nutrition coach, and I have a very special guest on the show today, my husband and business partner, Rod Smith. Today, we're going to share our own personal health journey, which looks very different than it did when we were first married 22 years ago. We're sharing the one event that changed everything in the way we currently eat, the steps we made to make this change, and then we will share a few tips that might make it easier to make changes toward living a more wholehearted life. Enjoy the show. So, welcome, dear husband of mine. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I was coerced into this.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Knowing you, I'm sure you're nervous, which is kind of makes me chuckle. And it's really ironic because you are co-producer of the show, but you also teach audio classes at the local university down in Indianapolis, which means you already have an insight as to how this whole thing works. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous. Yeah, I'm much more comfortable behind the camera, behind the scenes. I've edited all the podcasts that you've done so far and probably have edited audio more than half my life. It's been a part of my profession and now it's part of my teaching. But you know, it's different when you're on the mic and people are listening, or at least the five people that you say listen to this podcast.
Yes, the five that listen.
So, okay. So tell us, Deborah.
Yeah.
How did all this get started? What's the impetus behind our conversation?
So this journey that we have been on for 22 years plus really did happen and begin because of you. It was about 15 years ago, maybe a little give or take, I guess, Palm Sunday weekend, and a trip to the hospital in the back of an ambulance really set us on this path. You had not been feeling well for a few weeks, not sleeping well. We already knew that you were hypoglycemic, which means that your blood sugar glucose levels weren't always stable. So you'd have these really high highs and low, like then would bottom out. And
usually in the afternoon, right?
But you know, it was a situation where literally, like, I could see the color drain from your face and you would kind of get that gray, pale look. And it was just like you needed to have food.
Yeah,
you needed a snack.
And yeah, I was always, you know, craving or wanting some chips or crackers or fruit. But something, and I was a grazer. And you know, at the time, and for some people it still is, but grazing is kind of the way of eating for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It probably had more to do with what I was grazing, which was more sweet things that would help give me that little bit of energy in the afternoon when I'd start to dive.
Right.
And so, you know, at the time, I think we were eating healthy, you know, in our minds at the time, it seemed like we were eating healthy. We would get convenience foods that were quote unquote healthy. You know, the name on the box said healthy blank blank. So you assume that it's going to be good for you. It's in a green box, which means that it's even better.
Right.
But it was processed. It was frozen. But still labeled as healthy. So, it's confusing. And so for us, newly married, doing the best we can with the time, the money we had, and the lives we had, you know, at the time, it seemed like we were making good choices.
We were in the middle of a pretty big project. We were on a deadline, and you said that you really felt like you needed to get checked out at urgent care and you still weren't feeling really well. I had no idea that you were having heart arrhythmias and other heart issues because I just thought it was, I don't know, maybe you had the flu or body aches or something. And so while I sort of remember thinking, that's interesting. The project was really in front of me. And so we made the decision you were going to drive yourself up to urgent care and get checked out. And I was going to keep working on the project. And, you know, everything was fine. So well, then what happened?
So in hindsight, and I'm not a medical professional, but I can say from experience that if you're having any type of heart issue, urgent care probably isn't the place to go. they're really not set up to take care of heart issues. So the first thing they do is, you know, check your vitals. And I forget what was going on. There may have been some arrhythmia. The doctor really did recommend that I go to the ER. So their protocol is when someone comes in and is having heart issues that they load them up in an ambulance and take them off to the hospital. So I called you from the urgent care facility and told you what was going on. And your response was what?
To wait, to not let them put you in an ambulance that I would, you know, I would get there. Even though what was interesting is that at that time we only had one car. And so I knew my head was racing about like, how was I going to make that happen? But really for me was I didn't want you to go to the hospital alone. And the moment you said they're putting me in an ambulance to take me to the emergency room, it was sheer terror because my fear was that you would die before I could get to you. So it was really, really scary.
Yeah, it was tough for me because I remember being in the urgent care and the doctor had already called the ambulance. He was just waiting for my permission to put me in the ambulance. I remember now the paramedics were standing there. Everybody's waiting on me. And I'm trying to make a good decision. And, you know, at that point, you are a little panicked. You're, you know.
Yeah. If you didn't have heart arrhythmia before, you do now.
You did now. That's right. So anyway, I made the choice to go and then called you from the ambulance. And so that's when you knew you were headed to the hospital instead of the urgent care at that point.
Yeah. And so I had to call your parents and have them come and get me and really just praying the whole way there that we were going to get there and that I would be able to see you before you died. I mean, I had already planned that part that, you know, you know how they do in the movies where it's like the wife or spouse like blows in 1 minute before he dies. That's what I was imagining in my head. And obviously,
thankfully, it didn't end that way.
It did not end that way. Our story has a happy ending that you are still here, you know, but that one single moment really did change everything. It shifted everything in the way that we eat. It changed our lifestyle, actually.
So yeah, they did some tests. They got things settled enough that they were comfortable to send me home. We had some follow-up tests that were really inconclusive. Yeah. Like you said, we really started making some changes. I remember first, like just eliminating a lot of things that were in our kitchen.
That we really had no idea were part of our kitchen. I mean, like really, truly, legitimately, we're not educated that we were actually consuming a list of products that have been deemed very troublesome.
And at the time, you know, things like trans fats were pretty common.
Yeah.
But we had heard and read, and it really was doing our own research and finding out healthy choices. And trans fats, I think, was the first one. And so anything partially hydrogenated or, you know, that had a trans fat in it, we put in a big garbage bag, and it was surprising how much we threw away from just that first purge of our pantry in our kitchen.
There might be people that are like, oh, I'll do this after we've eaten all of it, because I don't want to really waste food. But I tell you, that experience was so terrifying to me. I was determined to not ever, ever, ever go through that again. And your health and well-being was worth far more than, you know, any amount of groceries that we were throwing out. I think that really one of the biggest surprises was how your body really was impacted by caffeine, chocolate, and sugar. those seem to be the three kind of common denominator things. Once you start eliminating those things, and then if you go back and try to have a little bit of whatever it is that you've eliminated, your body, if it doesn't do well, it will respond in a negative way. And for the longest time, we avoided those things completely. And after it's been more than a decade now of eating, you know, a more nutrient-dense diet, meaning eating whole foods that really have more nutritional value to them. Say a hamburger is going to have more nutritional value than a bag of chips, right? That's sort of common sense, but when you're in that space of not eating nutrient-dense foods, when I first heard that term, I was kind of like, well, what does that really mean? But it really is more nutritional value, more nutrients, vitamins, you know, those things that your body needs in order to function. And so now that we've done that for a while, you can handle, your body can tolerate. Occasionally, you'll have a small quantity of a real coffee. It might, you can have a small amount of chocolate. And those things really are not everyday things for you anymore. They're really, you know, occasionally. And we've, the other biggie for us is that we did kind of went on this journey of where we've eliminated sugar completely from our diet. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, for you, enough about me. So you've kind of had your own, even though mine's a little more dramatic, you've had your
pretty dramatic. Yeah.
You've had your own shift. Because about 8 years ago, we found out about the whole gluten situation.
Yeah.
Through a lot of kind of strange coincidental events, we learned about the gluten. We won't go into that. That may be another podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that you are gluten sensitive, whether it's celiac or just a sensitivity, it's very real. And we discovered that. So it was like this, almost the second step, I guess, mm-hmm. in our journey. Mm-hmm. It's not where we've ended up today, but at the time, I think it taught us a lot about cooking, baking, and making adjustments that are necessary. And man, yep. You just really can't tell the difference between a gluten-free and a, you know, a standard wheat flour recipe.
There's nothing now that I don't believe that we probably couldn't tackle. And it doesn't mean that every single recipe lends itself or that there's always a workaround to take one recipe that has maybe sugar, dairy, and wheat in it, and that you'll end up like, you can't just across the board say you could take any cookie, muffin, cake recipe, that because it really is about ratios and different flours respond differently and, you know, all of that. But what we've been able to do, I would venture to say, Rod, that and you would, I know you'll agree with me, we don't do without.
No, not at all. You know, both situations, you know, I don't regret because it has helped us make these conscious food choices. You know, mine in the form of an ambulance ride, yours in the form of just experimenting with foods and how you feel when you eat them and making those changes. It's all a process. And, you know, I think that's maybe one takeaway is that we did not make these changes all at once. It really was several years of just trying new things, the willingness. And that was a key too, is we both had to be willing to take that journey and to make these small changes together and what worked for each of us.
Yep. I would agree.
But you know, I'll be honest. I didn't think at the time that potatoes and corn and bread, that they really had an effect on me or my glycemic, you know, index or anything like that. And did not realize that our bodies convert it and use it just like they do table sugar. Mm-hmm. Getting rid of sugar in my diet was really tough. It was like a withdrawal. I was really, yeah. I think I was cranky. Was I cranky? As cranky
well,
as I can
for,
be.
Cranky for you. I was raging. Raging is not in your vocabulary, but yeah, I do agree. Focusing on the nutrient dense food has really, really paid off. Grass fed beef or pasture raised meats and cheese, fresh eggs, free range if you can get them, wild caught fish, healthy fats like avocado, extra virgin olive oil, real butter. Might also include nuts, dark leafy greens, and fermented foods such as sauerkraut or sour pickles or kimchi. basically, nutrient dense food is are those foods that are packed with a lot of nutritional value that really do help support and fuel your body. And I think the thing that has been shocking to both of us, honestly, is how satiating a meal can be when you're not eating those refined sugars and grains. You know, I also want to clarify here too that budget-wise, if you are in a place where, you know, grass-fed, pasture-raised, you know, organic isn't in your budget, don't sweat it. It's okay. Just buy the best whole foods that you can with the budget that you have. It's not a deal breaker. The whole goal would be, or intention would be, to replace some of the popcorn and chips and things like that with real, whole, nutrient-dense foods.
I think we're very conscious now, too, about shopping and reading labels. I don't know. Am I more of a label reader than you are even now?
Yeah, you are.
Because I'm like looking out for you in terms of, you know, seeing gluten. If wheat is in there. Yeah, gluten. Yeah. So I'm kind of the police, the label police.
Yep. You are the label police. You know, I didn't realize it at the time, I don't think, but you know, now there's like this really clear picture on every step of this journey over the last 15 years and where I am today. And it really did move me toward a career as a life coach. And then this past February, I completed my certification as a nutrition coach. And so, and again, I just want to clarify, I am not a nutritionist. I do not diagnose or treat people with specific health needs. Like, you know, I can't diagnose somebody with diabetes and then make recommendations based on, you know, what your diabetic needs are, how that works. So that's not where my level of expertise sits. But I am an expert in helping people find a nutritional path that's right for them.
Because that's what we had to do. We had to find the path that was right for us.
Right for us individually. And so the way I eat or the way Rod and I eat might not work for the 10 next people that might need a nutrition coach, you know, and that's okay. The goal really is, or my passion is in finding that nutrition path that is right for you, that it is a lifestyle change that can actually, that people can live with long term, right? Versus a short term quote unquote diet. I'm not interested in diets. I just think that diet culture is destructive. I don't support it. I don't encourage it, but it really is finding a lifestyle that works for individuals.
And it's not about guilting the way we ate or what we chose in that time, because I think it has given us perspective. It's shown us and taught us a way of eating and given us a mindfulness that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
100%. Yes.
And now you get the chance to share it with through the podcast, through the website, through coaching. You can share this with others and help others.
And while it can be overwhelming to make lifestyle changes, it's just choosing that one thing and starting from there. And hopefully it's a domino effect. I feel better now at 63. I'm going to say that live. I know.
Gasp. That's another podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. But I feel better at my age now than I did when I was 40. I just do. And I know that it's because of the lifestyle changes that we've been able to make. It doesn't just hang on the food, but that certainly is where it has started. So I'm just curious, what lifestyle changes have you made and what has worked for you? I'm always curious to know this because, as we've said before, what works for us may not work for somebody else. So that is genuinely a question that I would be interested in knowing. You can email me hello@smithbites.com and I promise that I will respond. And I want to thank my wonderful husband for joining me today, for being willing to be on the show today and to share his ambulance ride with everybody.
It wasn't bad. I'll do it again.
Will ya?
And I'll say anything for you. I would do anything for love.
Sing to me, baby. I want you to sing to me. That's so funny.